Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most rewarding and yes, one of the most mark-rich topics in WGSE A-level chemistry. We're talking about thermodynamics, specifically topic 1.8, Born-Haber cycles, and Gibbs free energy. Now I know what some of you might be thinking. Thermodynamics sounds scary. But I promise you, by the end of this episode, you're going to feel genuinely confident about these topics. And more importantly, you're going to know exactly what WGSE examiners are looking for when they mark your paper. In the next 10 minutes, we'll cover the core concepts clearly, walk through the exam tips that separate the A students from the rest, run a quick-fire recall quiz, and finish with a sharp summary you can use right before your exam. So let's get into it. Let's start with enthalpy changes. In thermodynamics, we deal with a whole family of standard enthalpy changes, and WGSE really does test whether you know the precise definitions. So let's go through the key ones. Standard enthalpy of formation is the enthalpy change when one mole of a compound is formed from its elements in their standard states under standard conditions. That's 298 Kelvin and 100 kilopascals. Notice, one mole of compound, elements in standard states. Both parts matter for the definition mark. Standard enthalpy of atomization is the enthalpy change when one mole of gaseous atoms is formed from the element in its standard state. This is always endothermic, always positive, because you're breaking bonds to create isolated gas phase atoms. Ionization energy, the first ionization energy specifically, is the energy required to remove one mole of electrons from one mole of gaseous atoms to form one mole of gaseous ions with a single positive charge. Always endothermic, always positive. And the key word there is required. Energy goes in. Electron affinity is the enthalpy change when one mole of electrons is added to one mole of gaseous atoms to form one mole of gaseous ions with a single negative charge. The first electron affinity is exothermic. Energy is released, so it's negative. But here's a classic exam trap. The second electron affinity, for example, adding a second electron to oxygen to form O2 minus, is endothermic and positive. Why? Because you're forcing an electron onto an already negatively charged ion. Electrostatic repulsion makes this energetically unfavorable. Examiners absolutely love testing this distinction. And finally, lattice enthalpy. WGSE defines lattice enthalpy as the enthalpy change when one mole of an ionic compound is formed from its constituent gaseous ions. This is the lattice enthalpy of formation. It's exothermic and negative. Some textbooks define it the other way around as dissociation, so always check which direction WGSE is asking for. The arrow direction in your Born-Haber cycle depends entirely on this. Now let's talk about the Born-Haber cycle itself. A Born-Haber cycle is an application of Hess's law. It's an energy cycle that links the enthalpy of formation of an ionic compound to all the individual steps needed to build it from scratch. Atomization, ionization, electron affinity, and lattice enthalpy. Here's the key principle. The enthalpy of formation equals the sum of all the other steps going around the cycle. So if you know all the other values, you can calculate the one that's missing, usually the lattice enthalpy. When drawing a Born-Haber cycle, WGSE examiners award marks for correct state symbols at every level, this is non-negotiable, correct arrow directions, up for endothermic, down for exothermic, correct species at each level, including electrons shown explicitly during ionization and electron affinity steps, and all steps labeled correctly. A common mistake is forgetting the electrons. When you show ionization energy, you must write, for example, Na plus, G plus E minus on the same energy level. When you show electron affinity, the electron is consumed, so it disappears from that level. Examiners will withhold marks if electrons are missing. Now let's move to Gibbs free energy. This is where thermodynamics gets really powerful because it lets us predict whether a reaction will actually happen. The Gibbs equation is delta G equals delta H minus T times delta S, where delta G is the change in Gibbs free energy in kilojoules per mole, delta H is the enthalpy change in kilojoules per mole, T is the temperature in Kelvin, always Kelvin, never Celsius, and delta S is the entropy change in kilojoules per Kelvin per mole. Now, here's the single most common mistake in the entire topic, and I want you to really hear this. Entropy values in data tables are given in joules per Kelvin per mole. That's a capital J, not Kajo. But delta H is in kilojoules. So before you substitute into the Gibbs equation, you must divide your delta S value by 1,000 to convert it to kilojoules per Kelvin per mole. If you don't do this, your answer will be wrong by a factor of 1,000. Examiners will not award the final answer mark even if your method is correct. Write the conversion explicitly in your working. It earns you a method mark and shows the examiner you know what you're doing. A reaction is feasible, meaning it can occur spontaneously when delta G is less than or equal to zero. Not just negative, less than or equal to zero. That word spontaneous is also a trap. WGSE wants you to say feasible or to reference delta G being negative, not just spontaneous in isolation. Entropy, delta S, measures the degree of disorder or randomness in a system. Higher entropy means more disorder. Reactions that increase entropy, for example, going from solid to gas or increasing the number of gaseous moles, have a positive delta S. Reactions that decrease entropy, for example, going from gas to solid, have a negative delta S. The four scenarios for feasibility are delta H, negative, and delta S positive, always feasible at all temperatures, delta H positive and delta S negative, never feasible at any temperature, delta H negative and delta S negative, feasible only at low temperatures, and delta H positive and delta S positive, feasible only at high temperatures. And finally, the temperature of feasibility. If a reaction is only feasible above or below a certain temperature, you can calculate that temperature by setting delta G equal to zero and solving for T. The formula becomes T equals delta H divided by delta S. Remember to use the converted delta S value in kilojoules. This is a guaranteed exam question type. Learn it cold. Right, let's talk exam strategy. These are the things that will make the difference between a B and an A. Tip 1. Unit conversion is everything. Write delta S divided by 1,000 equals at the start of every Gibbs calculation. Make it a habit. It takes 2 seconds and it protects you from the most common error in this topic. Tip 2. State symbols are non-negotiable in Born-Haber cycles. Every species, every level, every time. Nas, Nane, G, Na plus G, they all need brackets and the correct state. Examiners will penalize missing state symbols. Tip 3. Know your arrow directions. In a Born-Haber cycle, endothermic steps, atomization, ionization energy, bond dissociation, second electron affinity, point upward. Exothermic steps, first electron affinity, lattice enthalpy of formation, point downward. The first electron affinity points down, the second points up. Do not mix these up. Tip 4. When a question says, explain why the reaction becomes feasible above a certain temperature, you need to do 3 things. State the Gibbs equation, show that at high temperatures, the T delta S term dominates, and conclude that delta G becomes negative. That's 3 marking points. Don't leave any out. Tip 5. For defined questions, learn the WJEC definitions word for word. The mark scheme will often require specific phrases like, 1 mole of gaseous atoms, or from its elements in their standard states. Paraphrasing can cost you marks. And the biggest pitfall of all, confusing lattice enthalpy of formation with lattice enthalpy of dissociation. Formation is exothermic, ions coming together to form the lattice. Dissociation is endothermic, the lattice breaking apart into ions. If you get the direction wrong, your entire Born-Haber cycle will be wrong. Always check. Which definition is WJE using in this question? Okay, quick fire time. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then I'll give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the condition for a reaction to be feasible? Delta G is less than or equal to zero. Question 2. What are the units of entropy as given in data tables? Joules per Kelvin per mole. Question 3. Is the first electron affinity exothermic or endothermic? Exothermic, negative value. Question 4. What formula do you use to find the temperature at which a reaction becomes feasible? T equals delta H divided by delta S, with delta S in kilojoules. Question 5. In a Born-Haber cycle, which direction does an endothermic step point? Upward, toward higher energy. Question 6. What law underpins the Born-Haber cycle? Hess's law. How did you do? If you got all 6, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back to those sections in your study guide and make sure you can recall them without looking. Let's wrap up with the 5 things you absolutely must remember. 1. delta G equals delta H minus T times delta S, feasible when delta G is less than or equal to zero. Temperature of feasibility, T equals delta H divided by delta S. 2. Always convert delta S from joules to kilojoules by dividing by 1,000 before substituting into the Gibbs equation. 3. Born-Haber cycles, apply Hess's law. Every step needs correct state symbols, correct arrow directions, and electrons shown explicitly. 4. First electron affinity is exothermic. Second electron affinity is endothermic. Know why. Electrostatic repulsion. 5. WGZ uses the lattice enthalpy of formation definition. Exothermic, negative ions forming the lattice. That's it for today's episode on thermodynamics. You've covered Born-Haber cycles, Gibbs free energy, entropy, and all the exam traps in between. You are genuinely well prepared for this topic now. Good luck in your exams. You've got this. See you next time.